And there we go. All right. Hey, co-op listeners. This is Lynn Coles here with another InTouch interview. This program we started in April of 2020 to help share information with community members about programs and offices and individual people even that are doing really good work to help keep their communities stable and thriving during the COVID-19 pandemic. And we've collected lots of resources for people, shared some really wonderful information, and I am super excited today to be talking with Chastity Lord, who is the CEO and president of the Jeremiah Program, which is a program for to support moms and family members throughout the United States, and they do have a campus here in Austin as well. So, Chastity, thank you so much for joining us today and for speaking about the Jeremiah Program and just letting people know about the really excellent work that y'all are doing.
No, thank you so much, Lynn. It really is a pleasure to be here today to celebrate, affirm some of the incredible work that our JP moms are doing, because they are really the sheroes in this.
Yeah.
And as you said, you know, Jeremiah Program is a national organization that centers and supports single moms and their kids to disrupt generational poverty two generations at a time. We really create a space where a mom doesn't have to choose, am I going to bet on myself or am I going to bet on my kid?
Yeah.
We actually create this space to say, you know what, both of those are possible, and let's help you.
That's awesome. So how did the program get started? And especially with that focus on single moms and their kids, which is just such a necessary program to help support people who are doing that really, really difficult work of rearing, you know, raising children on their own.
The program got started back in 1993. We've been around better part of 20 years. And as you stated, we've been in Austin, Central Texas area, supporting and moms and their families for the better part of 10. And ultimately, you know, the program got started in a lot of ways what we're grappling with now in 2021. Mm-hmm. And that is this whole idea that generational poverty isn't an economic issue. Lynn, I think everybody gets it, that it's actually a social justice one. You can't have an unjust housing system without an unjust public educational system. You can't have an unjust health system without an unjust criminal justice system.
Mm-hmm.
They work in concert. And the program got started with this whole idea, if we're really going to move families, move single moms, female-led households experiencing poverty out of their current circumstances, we have to speak to the full family unit.
Yeah.
We have to speak to the full family unit, and we unapologetically kind of laser focus in everything we do. Look at single moms and their kids ages about 0 to 8,
mm-hmm.
creating an opportunity to have access to quality and affordable housing,
mm-hmm.
High quality early childhood, really creating a space to create coaching and being in community with moms around the women they are, the women they've been, and the women they desire to be become,
yeah.
As well as creating a space for matriculation and persistence in graduation around college education. I'll say one thing here, though,
yeah.
which is really important regarding kind of how we got started, is there's this whole idea, and as you know, is that, you know, economic mobility, generational poverty isn't going to be solved with the job
mm-hmm.
or the degree. And so it has to be a yes and. It's a much more complex equation. You know, there's this beautiful quote by James Baldwin that says, you know, anyone who's experienced poverty in America understands how expensive it is to be poor.
Yeah.
And what Jeremiah Program does is really centers that conversation and is willing to step into that complexity and be overwhelmed by it, but stay in motion with moms and their kids.
Yeah. Wow. And I mean, the issue of both like mother's education and children's educations, right, is like giving people the tools to continue that work after their kids are no longer under the age of 8, right?
Yes, for sure. And we have this really robust alumni program, a mm-hmm. fellowship, where we are really creating this space for moms to not just be attracted to being a part of the Jeremiah Program, but wanting to stay under the tent. Economic
yeah.
mobility doesn't end or begin with a degree
mm-hmm.
or the acquisition of the house or the job.
Right.
It's a much longer arc. And how do we create this space to expand the leadership temp in our country where we want moms, JP moms, moms experiencing poverty or have experienced poverty, not to just be recipients of great ideas that are bubbling up in our country, but really be positioned to be solution architects,
right,
not just for their families, Lynn, but for their communities. And if I could be so bold to say our country, we need more people who are sitting at tables of positional power, who've been proximate to the issues, but also to be there and also want to influence the agenda.
Yeah. I'm thinking of that amazing, I think, Colorado politician who I think experienced homelessness at some point and is now, you know, making policy and helping people inform their discussions with her direct experiences. I just that's such important work, and you know, providing a platform for moms to be able to have a voice in some of those decisions. So
huge.
Let's Please go ahead.
I was just going to say huge. And if 2020, 2021 has taught us nothing, it's taught us how incredible isolating and Herculean caregivers are in our country. And then when you add on the addition of being a single mom experiencing poverty, there is this incredible poverty tax. And so, so yes, it's acknowledging all the sheroes.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I figured that was
right. I'm so sorry. Well, that's one of those instances.
It's about JP moms, but it's also who are single moms experiencing poverty. But it actually sits on this foundational premise that caregivers, moms in our country, are incredible heroes and sheroes.
Yeah.
And when you add on experiencing poverty, when you add on unstable housing, when you add on this incredible poverty tax that comes with living in America, that's what we're trying to hold. But we acknowledge that, you know, caregiving across the board is extremely Herculean.
Right. Absolutely. Just big props to all the single moms out there, you know, doing that work and keeping their family stable. So let's see, how have things been going over the last year? Have Jeremiah programs changed at all? Or due to the COVID-19 pandemic, has the focus on public health been an issue? I'm just curious.
Yes, yes, and yes.
Yes.
I think one of the biggest things that we, I'm really proud of is in that moment, if you go back to kind of March 2020, in that moment, it was, there was this kind of binary point where you're either going to tread water and kind of wait for us to get back to normal, or we are going to pivot. And in a lot of ways, I channel this hockey player, Wayne Gretzky. Don't get nervous. I'm not going to get too sporty here. But, you know, he has this great quote where he says, "Don't run to where the puck is, you run to where it's going." And we added on to that, Lynn, how do we influence the direction of the puck?
Yeah.
And so we immediately actually pivoted to acknowledging that normal status quo wasn't working for our moms well before the pandemic.
Right.
Status quo normal wasn't working for our moms before the racial awakening. And this was a moment for us to influence the direction of the puck. And so we've been able to do things like creating communities where moms are able to pursue their college education virtually, and ensuring that they're able to benefit from supplemental child care, creating opportunities for moms to be able to participate in distance learning for their early childhood, for their young kids, et cetera. And so as challenging as this has been, it's also been an arbitrage opportunity and a bit of a leveling of experiential playing field for a lot of our moms who were grappling with, you know, childcare well before the pandemic.
Yeah.
And within the pandemic, there's this national conversation of understanding the complexities, the tension points within that.
Yeah.
And so lots of shifts regarding our program, but the headline is not just treading water, acknowledging it wasn't working before.
Yeah.
And so what's the value proposition? But also making sure that as an organization, we are doing our own reflective work regarding cultural competency. How do we actually see the full identities? About 83% of our moms are moms of color. How do we ensure that we want you to bring your identity was in every programmatic touch point, but also into that college classroom.
Yeah.
Understand that when you're taking macroeconomics, the fact that you've experienced poverty is actually something that you should actually center within the conversation. You have something to bring. You know, there's that Brené Brown talks a lot about shame mm-hmm. and the story that we tell ourselves. We do a lot of work regarding building community within the sisterhood of really honoring the woman that you currently are and the family you are, the family you've been, and also the family you desire to become. That full equation is actually in play.
Yeah.
And really using this moment where the country's being reflective of so much to position our moms as leaders in this new tangible but concrete way,
yeah,
which are the same thing, tangible and qualitative way is what I meant.
Yeah. Yeah, I did see the data focus on your website as I was reviewing it before I called you. I just also want to say that I'm so enthusiastic and so down with your quoting James Baldwin and Brené Brown in this conversation. I'm loving it so much. And also, like, you know, you're welcome, as the COVID pandemic dusted off, like, whatever we thought normal was, I think it's really remarkable work to kind of to participate in the restructuring of what we understand as value, right? Like those experiences of people of houselessness or poverty, like there is so much value there. And really getting people to recognize that in academic settings, in professional settings, in, you know, community settings, church settings, all those is such important work. Your website does focus on the data-driven aspects of your work. What are you doing as you capture information about the demographics and the needs of the moms who you're working with?
You know, there's a lot here. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this moment that I call it the shape-shifting moment.
Yeah.
I don't know what we're going to call it in history, but this is a shape-shifting moment for us as Americans, I would actually say globally.
Yeah.
But we're looking at not just lagging indicators, how many of our moms are persisting in graduating, kind of what the GPAs are,
mm-hmm.
How many of our early childhood kids through our child care centers are entering at or above grade level. Those are all huge, important indicators, and we're really measuring those.
Yeah.
But we're also looking to kind of put together other data points, like how many of our moms completed the census, how many of our moms are registered to vote,
right.
How many of our moms are interested in criminal justice issues, how do we actually help them understand that district attorney races are happening at the local level and typically run with 50 to 100 votes. How do we help them understand the inequities in public education, the mm-hmm. role of school board, becoming PTA president, but really looking at those levers that really shift mindset, shift and create more parity within the context of their day-to-day lives. That PTA president nuance, it sounds very, very kind of, that's nice. But when you really think about something like back to school night, when you really think about parent-teacher conference, if you don't have someone who's sitting in a place of positional power to say, no, we don't do programming in the middle of the day because people who are direct service or working class poor don't have the luxury
mm-hmm.
to get off work and come and attend this program. What can we do? How can we structure this in a way that assumes that all moms want to be great moms, all parents want to be great parents? Those types of opportunities for moms, when we talk about expanding the leadership tent, it's very, very tangible within the context of that. And what's in the context of this whole idea that mm-hmm. generational poverty really is not an economic issue. It's a social justice one. There's so many things that
absolutely
play into structural inequity, mm-hmm. systemic racism, systemic and gender balances, etc., that if we can create a space and share some of the agenda for folks who are most proximate to the challenges and issues, I really do believe we actually come out with better solutions.
Yeah. And you talked, you know, about economic injustice as a social justice issue. It's also a civil rights issue. It's a human rights issue, you know? Yeah. That work that you're doing is really expansive and acknowledging, not only acknowledging, but really focusing on the intersections and those overlaps of different kinds of injustices that are keeping people from being their full and best selves. Yeah. So
in that space of since you were applauding the Baldwin and the Brené Brown, yeah. I'm going to bring Audre Lorde into
this.
And Audre Lorde has this great frame where she says, people experiencing poverty don't live single issue lives because they don't have a single issue struggle.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just one thing. It's not just two things. It really is. When I love when you brought in the civil rights, when you brought in the racial justice, when you brought in the gender justice, it really is all of those things at the center. And that's why we are uniquely positioned to double our impact in 2021. We are increasing the number of women, increasing the number of young people, kids 0 to 8 that we're going to be serving. Specifically right there in Austin, we're going to grow by about 1.8x. Just within 2021, there's an incredible need and we want to respond to it. We want to influence the direction of the puck, not doing favors for moms and families.
Right.
This is around really understanding the power, the resiliency that anybody raising a kid. And mm-hmm. then we say anybody raising a kid that's doing it independently, anybody that's raising a kid that's doing it, experiencing poverty, get out of the way.
Yeah.
Get out of the way and be in support. How do we actually kind of walk with them? And that's what those five pillars are really about. It's around, for the first time, a lot of our moms are being seen as heroes and sheroes. We have this recruitment campaign, Lynn, that says, you're a great mom, become a JP mom too. Because we understand that most moms, there's such an unconscious bias
mm-hmm.
around socioeconomic and parenting, that most moms are actually great moms. And how do you actually create a space for them to be supported and understand that the world isn't structured for mm-hmm. them to thrive?
Mm-hmm.
It's structured for them to survive. But how do we actually help structure it so that them and their young families can thrive?
Right. And I was just thinking of that that Lucille Clifton poem where I think it's called Come Celebrate With Me, where she says, speaking of the world where that is not structured for people to thrive, sometimes it's not even structured for people to survive. Right. So every day something has tried to kill me and has failed. Right.
Yep. Yep, yep,
yep. Well, I'm just getting chills in this conversation.
Do a class together.
Right. all right. Well, if somebody listening to this interview is a mom and wants to be supportive to other moms, how can they reach out to the Jeremiah program?
If they feel comfortable, I would encourage them to check out our website,
mm-hmm.
jeremiahprogram.org.
Okay.
And the only thing that I would edit there, anybody who is a citizen in America who cares about this next generation,
mm-hmm.
look into Jeremiah Program. We need doers, donors, and door openers. We need people who are willing to be advocates for change, advocates for equity, advocates for support of single moms. We want current moms. We want single moms. We want fathers. We want everyone who's wedded to creating equity for the next generation to be a part of the JP tent. And thanks in advance for the conversation. I really appreciate the opportunity to just be in conversation, not just around who JP is,
mm-hmm.
but who our country has the ability to become by encouraging more people to be a part of that solution.
Yeah, absolutely. And thank you so much for your conversation and your time. And I just want to, just in case there are any single moms out there also listening, if people do want to participate in the program and be in this amazing network and get some support from Jeremiah Program, do they go to the same website? Is it best to just probably go to jeremiahprogram.org?
Yes, and they can go to the website, jeremiahprogram.org,
mm-hmm.
Do self-application within the context of that. You can do nomination. We have info sessions.
Awesome.
You can learn more about us. Yes, thanks so much for the opportunity. And I look forward to meeting new and future JP moms.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm just going to say it one more time. The website is jeremiahprogram.org, and that's Jeremiah program.org. And if anyone out there doesn't have access to the internet, feel free to call the COVID-19 community outreach team at Co-op Radio, and we can make sure that application gets filled out. And that number is 512-710-5353. And this has been Chastity Lorde, the CEO and president of the Jeremiah Program, doing amazing work to reduce intergenerational poverty in the United States among single moms. And this is thrilling. Thank you so much for your time and for sharing with us. And we'll definitely stay in touch for updates and whatnot, too.
I appreciate it, and I'm doing amazing work. I own that, and I will just add to that, you are facilitating amazing conversations.
Totally.
So thank you.
You're welcome. All right, we'll talk to you soon. Thanks so much.